da do da ba ba da do da do da 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 do da do do da da. Hello, my name is Susanne. Welcome to the 30th episode of Handmade, from the life of a knitting, singing, writing spinner. Today brings you the third ever English episode of the podcast. So I'll skip the announcement to my German listeners, because I already did that in the last episode. I hope you all remember that I'm doing an English episode every 10th episode, so the one that ends with a zero. And in this episode, I will be talking about everything that I talked about in the 9 episodes before this. So, of course, I'm not talking about everything, otherwise you'd be sitting here like in 10 days from here, from now, yeah, okay. And as you also can hear, I'm doing this just off the cuff, no rehearsals. I do have a list of all the things that I want to talk about. I hope this will work out. What else? It has been 10 months. So my hopes of doing a podcast episode every other week it didn't turn out that way, so life's what it is. I can't change it. Wouldn't that be fun? Go back and change let's not go there. So what happened? I twisted my ankle. That was a biggie. I had a partially torn ligament in my right ankle, and so I couldn't do any exercise or pretty much anything for a month. But I'm all better now. Back to jogging and even doing a bit of yoga, which I really love. I started weaving, but you'll hear all about that later. Can't think of anything important, really. I'll start by talking about all the projects that I started and finished between the last April episode or something and now, which will be quite a bit. And then I'll go and tell you a bit about all the topics that I had on the podcast, because as you know, you might know, every podcast episode has a topic, and so I choose it and then I blabber and blabber on about something related to the topic. So let's just dive in with the knitting. That was, that's the biggest section, I guess, from what I've finished. Let's start out with the Hopefully Enough Yarn cardigan. That is a sweater that I started making for a sweater class that I was teaching on how to make a sweater that fits without a pattern. And I used spinning fiber that was hand-dyed by a friend of mine, and I spun that into yarn. Yeah, about, I don't know, sports weight? DK weight, something along those lines, and I made it into a top-down cardigan following the formula of Wendy Bernard's custom knit book, the first one, where you do a top-down sweater with satin sleeves. I did that. I ran out of yarn for the button bands, so I spun some other top that I had. This was commercially dyed, because of course I couldn't get anything more of the hand dyed top, and we couldn't reproduce the color, so I just chose something else and made the button band go all around the sweater, like where the button bands sit and the neck bands and
And then on the hem of the sweater as well. So there's a stripe of color going all around. And then I ripped back the cuffs on the sleeves, which I had done beforehand, and made them in the new contrast color as well. So I finished that in April, I think. And I remember talking about, oh yeah, and I only need a zipper for this and put that in, and I hope to have that done by the next podcast episode. So that was in April. I can tell you the zipper is still not in the cardigan. It's perfectly possible to wear it without a zipper because I have worn it already, but it's bugging me that the zipper is still sitting here not put in. But I don't know, no promises, because as I know myself by now, so I don't know when I will put that zipper in or if ever, I don't know. So, but that cardigan is, I consider it done. Then there was a pair of socks for my husband, like almost plain vanilla socks that just, you know, for a project that I carry around in my purse to work on when I want some mindless knitting. Those went really fast, and my husband loves them and has requested more pairs like that. So, you know, I made him all these socks with Kukie patterns from Wollmeise yarn, everything. And he loves these the best, the easiest. That I use basically the pattern that I've used for knitting socks all my life, that a friend of mine taught me when I was about 15 or 16 years old, so quite some time ago. And yeah, he says, oh, they fit so well. And yeah, I think he likes them so much because I used a very tiny needle. It's I think I made them on 1.5 millimeter needles. That would be a US size like 00, I think. Yeah. No, triple. Huh. Three of these zeros. Yeah. So very, very thin needles. I also made Star Trek potholders. We love them. They're in use all the time, and that was my first foray into double knitting with, you know, where you have both sides look like the right side of the knitting, and you work with two colors, and yeah. So I did that. There's a tiny mistake in them, and I had to make the second one a bit shorter than the first one because I ran out of yarn. It was so crazy. Later I saw on the picture that I took from of the yarn that the label on one of the skeins, or rather balls of yarn, it had been put together with tape again. So I'm thinking maybe somebody ran out of yarn and went into the yarn shop and just pulled a few meters of that yarn off the ball and, yeah, stole it. I'm not sure. But that was the last ball in that color, and it went short. And so I had to make a shorter pot holder. But I don't know. I don't think anybody ever noticed. And they're working just fine. So what else? Oh, the what I call my somewhat Turkish socks. That's a pattern that I designed for a sock knitting class that I taught about, you know, all the complicated ways to knit socks with color work, with lace patterns, and with cabling. And so first I promised to teach all those things in that one class. Like we were meeting six times, and only afterwards did I realize that knitting 3 pairs of socks in 6 weeks is a lot for most people, and especially for people who are going to take a class for knitting a pair of socks. So that was a bit much. And so I pare it down to 2 sock patterns. One has cables and lace, and the other one has the color work. And that's somewhat Turkish. Sock is the color work one. It's now officially called Abstract Meadow, and the pattern is almost finished. Yeah, I think it has been almost finished for just about 2 years or so. And I'm still not quite sure if I will ever finish that pattern and put that out, but I'll tell you if I do. I quite like the pattern, but I don't really like the socks that I knit, because I thought I'd buy cheap Regia sock yarn for the prototypes, and then get myself some really nice yarn, and then make like the real sock for the pattern. Only after tinkering with it for ages to get it right and get the pattern out, I don't really want to knit it anymore. And so I'm stuck with the Regia sock. So it looks great, but I don't know, something in the colors? I mean, Regia, no, I'm not really a fan of the colors in sock yarn, especially since there are so many other yarns out there that are much prettier. So I don't really know what to do, but in April last year, I actually finished the second of these socks. Then I had, I did the flight path mystery. Yeah, really. Mid of April. It seems like it's been decades since I knit all these things. The flight path mystery was a knit along by Mary Scott Huff. And it was a hat. And I ordered merino top in several colors. For that, I spun it, I knit the hat, I finished it, but I'm really not happy with the colors. That's the first thing, because I ordered, I had to order online because there's no spinning shop next to me. And with a color work and a pattern that needs, I think, 5 colors. It was a bit hard to really know which color would go with which. So I just took a guess, and turned out that especially like the purple that I had, it looks totally electric purple. It looks like acrylic, even though it's hand-spun merino. Very funny. But I did finish the hat, but I never took a picture of it. It doesn't really fit me. I don't really like it. And I have vowed to never ever do a knit along again. We'll see how long that lasts. But I'm thinking about, I don't know, maybe giving the hat to somebody. I should take a picture and ask you guys what to do with it. Next, I did a cotton washcloth. So I really realized that this is totally overlapping into the spinning category, but I can tell you everything twice if you want to, but that will make the podcast even longer. So I started spinning cotton after watching, I think, the Stephanie Gaustadt video on spinning cotton. I spun it on a tuckley, a schacht pair tuckley, and it took ages, but it was a lot of fun. And then I knit a washcloth, and then I used the washcloth all the time, which is funny because I did never use washcloth before, but that coincided with a change in, like, I used to use something to clean my face, and I don't even really remember. But these days, I'm doing a hot oil wash. It's great because I don't need the lotion or something. I just use olive oil, a washcloth, and hot water. And for that, I need, of course, a washcloth and the hand-spun, hand-knitted washcloth. That's a pattern by Abby Frankemond. It's in her Respect the Spindle book. So that washcloth is perfect because it's really small and light, and so it dries out quickly. And I don't know, it was just a joy to knit washcloth. Yeah, right, I know. I also finished another cardigan called Myrte. That's like myrtle. That's the myrtle cardigan pattern by, forgot the name of the designer. But you can look up all these projects on my project page on Ravelry. I'll link to that, I think. So the pattern is called Myrtle, and it was like, I had knitted this sweater from Knit Picks Gloss. I totally forgot how that sweater was called, but I had this sweater. It was a really nice sweater. It was a bit too tight in the hips, but otherwise it was great. Only I never wore it. And then I found that, A, it was a sweater and not a cardigan, and I never wear my sweaters, only the cardigans. And B, it had a really wide neckline, so I never really knew what to wear with it. And wearing only the merino silk sweater on my bare skin somehow seemed weird. And so since I never wore it, I just ripped it out completely. And that had been the sweater where I wove in all the ends perfectly, neatly. I have to say it was horrible to rip out because I couldn't really find the ends. And I had divided the strands of yarn and wove in every strand separately. Nightmare. So, but I ripped it all out, and then I decided to make myself a nice small lacy cardigan because I have another one that's a cotton silk blend, and I made that more than 10 years ago, and I wear that all the time. So I made the myrtle cardigan. I knit the whole thing. I blocked the whole thing. I sewed the, well, it's a, is it top down? I don't remember, but it's basically knitted in one piece. I think it's bottom up. Yeah, it is. I really don't know. I should do these things, these English episodes, more often so I can remember everything, don't you think? So this is cardigan. I finished it up to the point where I need to sew the buttons on. And I do have the buttons somewhere in the pile of things to be finished on my dresser, but I haven't sewn them on. And now I'm thinking that maybe I haven't sewn them on, though I have worn the cardigan. Not a lot, but sometimes. But I haven't sewn the buttons on because I don't really like the cardigan. The fit is weird. It's too small. In the pattern it says to block the lace real hard for the swatch. Yeah. Bad idea in my case, because the sweater then turned out to be just a bit too tight. On the other hand, there's a problem that I have with almost all my sweaters that I've knitted in the last month or years, because some of them, it's not the sweaters that have grown smaller, it's me. I have grown bigger, so that's a problem too. But with this one, It was always too tight. And I really, really don't like the way the sleeve caps are done and the sleeves fit. And I don't know why sleeves are too tight too. Excuse me. So I'm not quite sure if I should rip this out again, but I don't know. It's a bit, gives me a bad feeling, like using a yarn that has been two sweaters already. And for some reason, I'm no longer in love with the yarn. So I'm not quite sure what to do. But on the other hand, since I'm not, if I'm not ripping it out, I should really sew the buttons on. So I have a to-do list. And on that to-do list is a point that says, find buttons for sweater. Then I have, I made another cardigan. Miraculous Whisper, I call it, because it's made from a Schoppel Zauberball. That was a gift from a woman who was taking my class and on sweater knitting. And she said, oh, I have all this yarn that I want to get rid of. And does anybody want this? So she had this red, bright red Zauberball. And I thought, oh, I can make myself a whisper cardigan. And I did. But it's not even blocked. Because, again, I'm not sure if I should change the sleeves or if I even like it or if it will fit. Or, and if I change the sleeves, I might have to either do a major operation surgery thing on the first sleeve because the sweater is knit sideways from sleeve to sleeve. So you can't just shorten the sleeves. You have to, I don't know, take something off and then knit it again. And with the Zauberball, with the gradients, it's really hard to find a point in the yarn where you can start knitting in the other direction without it showing. And yeah, so I'm pretty unsure about this thing. On the other hand, maybe I really should block it so I can see if it fits or not. I don't think it will, but maybe I should take the plunge. So then I started knitting, a sock. And this time it was only a sock. I was using this Q pattern from Knitty. So I used this Q pattern because it's a toe-up pattern. And it happened so that I went to my local yarn shop. There's a new local yarn shop that has opened, I don't know, about a year ago or so. It's really nice. And so I went there. I bought sock yarn. I don't know, two balls or something. I started with the first ball, and as always, I'm knitting the ball from the inside out. So I grab in, pull out the end, and like half the ball with it as usual, and find that this is weird. And turns out that about 30 grams of the ball were in a different colorway. So yeah, that was a mistake. I had this ball of yarn that was 72 grams in one colorway and 28 grams in another one. I didn't really want to return the ball because I wanted to start knitting right away. And so I thought, oh, I'll do skew because I already have a pair and they fit great and they're interesting to knit and they're toe up. And I started with this yarn, with the 72 grams of, not with the smaller ball, and started knitting that sock. It turns out that while skew is a toe up pattern, it's not one where you can shorten the cuff as much as you want, because it's knit on the bias. So you need to, I don't know, complete the wedge that makes the cuff level. And so I knit the first sock, I weighed the yarn. Turns out the sock took more than half of the yarn. At that point, I was again thinking about returning the ball, but I had, you know, pulled it all apart and already knitted it. So I thought, well, I'll just do a plain old vanilla sock, make the cuff not too long, and everything's fine. And it was. So I made just plain socks from that yarn. But I had to rip out the whole skew sock. And with a skew pattern, it's really fun to knit. But since I have a very high instep, I always use the modifications for high instep. And that's really a pain to follow the pattern, insert the modifications. And yeah, I really need my mind to focus to be able to knit that. So I don't always want to do that with knitting. I also knit Francie's socks for my husband's, and I have to say they haven't been photographed yet, nor have they been worn, because at that point I thought, oh, I'll just start this pile over here with finished things that need to be photographed. Yeah, the pile's still sitting there. Then I started Viola. That's the Lauren, I think Lauren is the name, cardigan by Isolde Teague from her Red in the City book. I start, and you know, with the sweater knitting class and with all these sweaters that I had been knitting that I hadn't been wearing or hadn't been all that happy with. And so I started thinking about, so what kind of sweater would I really like to wear? And I thought, well, why don't I make myself a cotton sweater? And I bought some Schachmeier yarn. That's like the kind of yarn that you used to get everywhere. And it's a nice cotton yarn. It doesn't have this dead, lifeless, limp feeling that cotton sometimes has. It actually has a nice structure to it, and it looks like it might hold the shape well. I hope so. So I started knitting this cardigan. I remember I went on holiday to visit my parents, and I took that with me. And have to say, I'm still only about a third into it, because I knitted that sweater while with my parents and a little while after that. And then it's a top down sweater, and I'm just finished the increases for the breast things, darts and everything. And then I don't know what I did wrong, but I realized I tried the sweater on and it didn't fit me, so I had to rip out a bit. And yeah, and then I did it again, everything better, new fitting. And now I'm not quite sure if I want it to be a pretty short sweater with this really long ribbing at the waist. So that will be perfect for wearing it with dresses or skirts. Or if I want to modify the pattern and make it more A-line with the shorter ribbing. But just the other week, I decided to go ahead and knit the sleeves first and decide about the rest of the sweater later. And I will have to see how much yarn I still have when I have finished the sleeves. Anyways, because I bought the yarn about a year ago, and I don't think I will be able to get any more of that particular color. Then the endless saga of the turtle. I did knit Sheldon the Turtle ages ago. I can't say how long. But I remember wanting to give it to my son as a Christmas present at least once, maybe twice. And yeah, so that lingered in my not quite finished pile for ages, until a podcast listener actually offered me to sew it together for me. But I couldn't do that. I have my pride. I have to sew my own stuff together. Really, I can do it. I just don't like it. And so I started actually putting it together. I sewed two of its legs to the body. Then I had to detach them again because I did it wrong. But in the end, I can say that my son is now a proud owner of a hand-knitted turtle. He really likes it too. But I won't be knitting any toys soon because they're always so fiddly, and I will especially never ever knit any toys ever again that need to be sewn together or put together with I-cord and batting. And this was really horrible nightmare. It turned out nice, but really having an almost finished turtle sitting there in your to-do pile for month doesn't feel good. So, okay, no more turtles for me. And then, yeah, another one of these. I really seem to have acquired a lot of these didn't quite go well projects last year. I don't know. Aren't you supposed to get better at these things, not worse? So I have this hat. I call it the Not a Salt and Pepper Shaker hat. It's the Bloody Stupid Johnson hat, and that's a Discworld reference. You know, the Discworld books by Terry Pratchett. I won't tell it all to you, but if you know the books, the thing about the salt and pepper shaker might make sense. So I had fiber, like the kind of fiber that you give a beginner, say, you can do with this whatever you want, I don't care. So I spun that, I don't know, just for fun on a spindle. And when I was done, I thought, oh, maybe I can make that into a hat. Which, by the way, was a totally dumb idea because the yarn is scratchy as hell. But I didn't know that then. So I thought, oh, I can make the Bloody Stupid Johnson hat from this yarn. Well, it turned out I couldn't. I cast on three times, I think, and the yarn is just too heavy for the pattern. So I went to the yarn shop. I got myself other yarn. With that yarn, I only cast on twice. I wanted this to become a hat for my son because he never gets anything knitted by me, well, other than toys, and those not very often. So I thought, oh, I can make him a hat. And he had declared this particular yarn to be soft enough for him to wear, because to him, every yarn that contains wool is scratchy. Even if it has like 30% wool and the rest is cotton and polyacryl, nope. So I made him this hat. I blocked it. I liked it. I said, ooh, I have a hat for you to wear. And he said, no, I can't wear that. That's too itchy. Yeah. It was shit. But then, turned out, my husband didn't have enough hats. He likes it. And he wears it all the time. So, yeah, my son won't get another knitted hat, I think. Then I made a wingspan from handspun. I had this gradient top that I bought at the very first German Reverie meeting in 2009. I spun that on a Turkish spindle and I chain plied it. And I made the wingspan from this yarn. And I do love it, but something about it bugs me. So it's been sitting in a pile since the end of June, waiting to be blocked. And just a week or two ago, I thought, I think I'll rip it out again. Now, the thing is, I do have enough shawls as is. And pretty much like my son, I'm getting particular about the yarn that I wear next to my skin, especially on the neck. So, I think I'll make something else from the yarn. Still love the yarn, not totally in love with the shawl. And I think that's why it has been sitting in the to be blocked pile for a month now. Then I decided that I needed way more pairs of fingerless mittens because my hands were starting to, I was starting to get white fingers every time I was a little cold. So I decided I needed more fingerless, well, mittens or gloves, whatever. And so I did the fiddly mitts. That's, what's the pattern is called Sourwood Mountain Mittens, I think. So they're a bit big. I think I washed them. I bought buttons. Yep. Still in the to-be-finished pile. And again, I'm not quite sure if I'll ever dig them out or if I will rip them out. Then I made what I called emergency mittens because I still needed fingerless mittens, even though the fiddly mitts didn't really turn out to be what I wanted. So I knitted some, oops, I think it was an Hansen pattern, but I don't really remember which one. They knit up pretty quickly. I made them from yarn that I had lying around. I think it was leftovers from another hat that I made for my husband or something. So that gray, which is not the best color for me, not even on the hands, because the gray doesn't really work with the color of my skin. But I wear them all the time. So note to self, never do anything that you need to sew buttons on. Then I started the much anticipated pair of socks from hand-spun fiber from a merino silk blend that I spun on a spindle. And this time the yarn turned out pretty even and pretty much the thickness that I wanted. And so I decided I wanted to knit them up into socks from a cookie ape pattern that's called PB&J. And I knitted most of the first sock. And while knitting, I remember that I really, really dislike knitting twisted stitches. And yeah, and I don't know, they lingered on the kitchen bench for month, and I don't usually take that much time to knit socks. It doesn't take me that much time. And, you know, I can finish a pair of socks in days, so there was something wrong with this. And kept looking at them and not really feeling love and with all the charts and the crossing of stitches and so just 10 days ago or so, I ripped the sock out totally. Then I decided that I wanted to design a pretty easy, nice ribbing sock, ripped sock with a bit of a cable on the side. Yeah, I cast on 3 days ago. I'm really, really happy with these. I don't know, I have like 2 inches done of the first cuff And I have an idea where the pattern will go, but I'm not quite sure yet. And it's all very exciting. Then I did the Mindless Van Gogh socks. I'll tell you more about the spinning in the spinning segment. Sorry, but these are made from hand-spun fiber again, yarn. That was fiber, merino nylon fiber that I bought from Knitting Spiro, Julia from Stuttgart. And it was funny because when I bought the top, it looked like it was purplish and green. And once I spun it, they looked totally blue. And the color reminded me a lot of a certain Van Gogh painting, but I just can't remember right now which one. And that time I decided I'll just knit plain socks, no bells, no whistles, straightforward. I knitted them, I love them, they fit, everything's perfect. Oh, and then there was the big, big project, Shades of Brown. I'll only tell you a little bit about that right now, because that's actually a topic. Yeah. So my mother turned 70 last October. And when I saw the book Knit Swirl, it's about these cardigans that are like big circles, and then you like, it's a pretty intricate way of knitting a sweater, but they look really, really beautiful. And I saw those and thought, I'll do one of these for my mother for her birthday. I had originally planned to spin the fiber in August when we have summer break over here. And I ended up spinning all the fiber during the Tour de Fleece, and then I knitted the cardigan during the Revelenic Day Games. And just to spoil the surprise, I got finished in time. She got it in time for her birthday. She loves it. I'll tell you more about that later. Then, since I had this torn ligament, I had to wear a brace on my ankle, and the brace actually made sore spots on my leg, and there was the skin was rubbed away, and so I knitted myself socks for padding the brace with a really, really long cuff from a cotton wool something. Those went, well, reasonably fast. They're almost knee socks, but not quite. And they fit really well, and they were really, really helpful with that brace. Then I did three more cotton washcloths from naturally colored cotton that I spun again on the Tuckley. There's a green one, there's a brown one, and then there's a brown and white heathered one. Still love the washcloth, use them all the time. Then I started a pair of experimental socks. These are actually not knitted, but crocheted. And it was, you might know that I belong to this Ravelry group, Friends of Abby's Yarn. And there's another member of this group who lives up in the Yukon, and she's called Rachel. And she had this pattern for crochet socks in in Spinoff magazine. So I had never thought about crochet socks, but somebody else tried it, and I don't know why. I bought this yarn. Yeah, It always starts with our bodies. No, not always, but mostly. So I had this yarn that I had wanted to become a scarf for me. And it was sock yarn, and it had cotton and wool and poly something. And it was really, really stretchy. So it turned out not the best thing for weaving. And I had 200 grams of that. I made those really long socks for my brace out of that yarn. But then there was still more than 100 grams left over. And I couldn't stand knitting another pair with the same yarn. So I made socks and I crocheted them and I love them, but still I didn't take a picture of them. Maybe I'll get around to do that before I publish this podcast. That would be nice, wouldn't it? So I started crocheting again. And that was really interesting because when I crochet, my wrists usually hurt, and I can't do it without looking, so I can't really do it while watching TV, and then I found that, most of my problems with crochet were due to lack of practice, and while I was crocheting these socks, it turned out that with the right kind of crochet hook and with a lot of practice, So these days I can crochet for hours without my wrists hurting, and I loved making these socks so much that I am desperately looking around for another project to crochet something, and I will. Then I had a friend of mine had a baby. Well, was about to have a baby, and at first I thought I'd make a blanket for her, but then I realized, that's a lot of yarn and work and maybe too much, and so I made her a baby surprise jacket. And since I have made one of these before for a friend from sports weight yarn, and when she put her newborn in the jacket, the sleeves were way too short and it didn't really quite fit anymore. This time I used worsted weight yarn, so it's still a bit big, but I used cotton, so she'll be able to wear it whenever. So I made this baby surprise, and the baby surprise jacket's always so nice to knit, because even though I've made two now, at first I never remember how it's supposed to fit together, and you just knit this thing that looks like a mishappened diaper or something, and then it's like origami. You fold it together and say, "Ooh, look! Now it's a jacket." It's really fun. But I did knit the blanket that I had planned to knit for my friend, and I made it for myself. It's the Op Art blanket. That's a knitty pattern, and I really loved it. And I used a bit heavier yarn, which meant that I needed a lot more yarn than it said in the pattern. And I have to say that it's finished now, but I haven't woven the ends in yet. I keep waiting for the mysterious day when I'm in the mood for weaving in 100,000 ends. I hope it will come soon, because that blanket will really come in handy. And then I made a sweater for my husband, because turns out while I'm making him a lot of socks and hats, I had never made him a sweater. I knit him something that I call the treble clef sweater. It's based on the Duro pattern that originally was in Magnet's online magazine or something, but I only lifted the cable from that pattern, and I did an Elizabeth Zimmerman, one of those percentage system sweaters. I think it was the seamless shoulder hybrid or something. That turned out pretty well. He has worn it. He likes it. I should have maybe blocked it a bit harder because turns out that 3x1 ribbing is not all that flattering to someone who might have a little pouch. So harder blocking is in order. But yeah, fits. And I haven't taken a picture. Sense a theme here, huh? Next, I made socks again for my husband because he requested more ribbed socks, plain vanilla ribbing on the top, all set. So I made those pretty fast. And then I had wanted to record a couple of songs and give that to my parents and my sister and my aunt as a Christmas present. But I was so stressed in December that I didn't manage to record the songs. And so I had to think of emergency Christmas gifts. So I sat down a few days before Christmas and made a hat for my mother from the Gretel pattern from Isolde Tieck. I had lent my own Gretel hat to my mother and she liked it so much that I gave it to her and said, keep it, I'll make myself another one. But then it turned out that since she has red hair and the hat was red too, she had the feeling that she couldn't wear that. She looked great in it, but well, she's a bit, well, you know, there are a lot of red-haired people out there who think they can't wear red ever. So she gave that back to me and said, I'm sorry, I won't keep it. And also, it's not slouchy enough. So I made her another one from green yarn. She loves the yarn. She loves the color. But it turned out to be so slouchy. Way too slouchy. So she gave it back to me and said, could you please make that a little smaller? And it's right now sitting on top of my, in the hallway on top of the closet because it reeks of cigarette smoke and I can't stand that smell because my mother smokes like crazy. So I have to air it out before I rip part of it back and re-knit it to specifications. So, yeah. That was my knitting and crochet. Really not that successful, don't you think? So the spinning part, and we're already 50 minutes into the podcast. What I recommend to you is A, get yourself a nice hot beverage or a beer, whatever you prefer. Also, since this is a podcast and I'm not sitting in front of you, you can just stop wherever you want. And your MP3 player will remember where you were and then you can come back later. That's the way I listen to podcasts. I take them with me on my iPod when I go grocery shopping or take the train to Munich or something. So I listen to the podcast walking along and then I go into the shop and stop the podcast. When I come out, I'll listen again. I do that for 5 days and then I have listened to the whole episode. So, spinning. Of course, I spun the yarn for the Flight Path Mystery knit along on a spindle. I don't even remember if it was the Bosworth Featherweight or the Mini, but really, it's not that much of a difference. I spun all of the Indian Summer Corriedale. That was meant to become the Wise Heart sweater at one point, but the yarn, I spun it way too... No, wait. No, I started spinning it on a spindle. And then I found that the yarn really didn't draft well and was no fun to spin. And so I stopped spinning it on a spindle and I just... put it on the wheel, spun it any which way, and now it's actually bulky yarn. I have no idea what I will do with it, but I spun the 2 pounds. They're all spun up. Then I did the merino silk for socks on my featherweight spindle. I did a 3-ply. The yarn is looking great. I really hope it holds up well. I know merino is not considered to be good yarn for socks. I don't know. I have one pair of merino socks that were hand spun and that have a hole in them. But that I spun that like when I was a really new spinner, and I don't think the top was very good, and I'm not quite sure. My other merino socks have held up well, although I have to say there's a bit of felting, but then I always have felting on my socks, especially on the heel, even on the Regia socks. So I don't know. Since merino is what I had lying around, and this was leftovers, the spinning fiber from a project from, I did a hat and mittens, Snapdragon Tam, I think it was called, and Snapdragon flip tops. And that was leftover top. And I thought, oh, I'll just make that into sock yarn. And that's what I told you about that. That's the pair of socks that I just restarted. I'm really heavy, happy, not heavy. I'm also heavy, but I'm really happy with the yarn. Then I spun a lot of cotton on the Tarkley, and at first it seemed like it took forever and ever and ever. And then I found that it was really nice to spin the cotton, and I could do it while reading blogs or watching something, a DVD on my laptop. And so I went through the cotton pretty fast. This year was the first ever that I've spun cotton. And in the beginning I found it hard, but it was great fun. And I really should look. I have some more cotton up in the attic. Should pull that down and start spinning. The other thing that I pulled out again, I had bought some red silk top ages ago, and I started to spin that on the featherweight, and it got all tangled and ugly, and I couldn't draft it anymore, and I hated it, and so I just stopped spinning it. And I think that might be the only spinning project ever that I abandoned. But then there was this edition of the Spin Knit magazine about silk, and there was a short video by Sarah Lamb about spinning silk, and the way she did it on the fold, and not all that specific, but I thought, oh, that looks easy, I should try that again. And then there was this Turkish spindle that I had ordered from IST Crafts that I really didn't like, and it's totally fragile and it's beautiful, but I thought, oh no, it's been lying around here for more than a year and I haven't spun on it yet. And so I tried to sell it, but nobody wanted it. And so I took that spindle with the silk, and all of a sudden I was in love with the silk spinning and the spindle and everything. So it takes ages to spin a silk on a Turkish spindle because, they're not the fastest around, but I didn't mind. Right now I've spun not a lot, but very, very thin. I totally forgot. It's like 15 grams spun and plied, and I have, I don't know, hundreds of meters. And I want to make this into a shawl because I hope that a silk shawl won't be itchy next to my skin. So that's a project. But I still have to spin like 20 more grams. So yeah, you'll hear more from the silk later. And then there's this other thing. There's a whole DVD on silk spinning by Sarah Lamb, and I can't recommend that enough. Well, it's really a question of what type of person you are, because I also have the Spinning Luxury Fiber DVD by Judith McKenzie. And that one's great. Only I found that it seems that Judith McKenzie and me, we are totally different types of spinners. So every time I look at her doing all short forward, short draw, control, 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 I'm like, I can't do that. I can't do that. And so for me, it works much better to do things more by feel and just, well, I'm not as controlled a spinner as she is. And it's totally funny because she does this exercise in her The Intentional Spinner book, and I think it's on the DVD as well, where she just tweaks the wheel and does the same thing always with her hands, and then she gets all these different kinds of yarns. I tried that. I can show you the card where I put all my yarns. Like 90% of them look exactly the same. So I tightened the brake, I changed pulleys, I loosened it. I did it really. Like she said, they all look the same. So this is not the right way for me, it seems. But for me, with the silk spinning, I love the Sarah Lamb DVD. Really, it's great. I also love to hear her talk, but that's, yeah, rather personal too. So I did that red silk on the Turkish IST, yeah. Then there was the merino nylon blend that was hand dyed by Knitting Spiro. That's beautiful. I love the socks. I did. I used my Tiny Turkish from Threads Through Time, and that was my take with me project for quite some time. And then just before the Tour de Fleece, because I was planning to spin the yarn for a sweater on the spindle during the tour, I decided to get in training. You'll hear more about that later. And that sock yarn was what I trained with. And then else, there was the orange blue faced Leicester top that I wanted to spin into the Weishart sweater. That's a pattern by Sandy Weishart. That's a custom, yeah, of course it's a custom-made sweater because you'll knit it yourself. But the pattern is so that it, in addition to the pattern, it also has a widget online where you can plunk all your numbers in. You measure yourself in like 30,000 places, and then you get the pattern that fits your body exactly. And I want to spin the yarn for that on a spindle. So far I have spun 45 grams, so only like 900 and well, a lot to go. It's I ordered about 2 pounds, so that 45 grams, that's about 1.5 ounces for those of you who think in American. That's not a big dent in the 2 pounds. What else? Oh, yeah. I spun 2 pounds of Shetland top that has a tussle silk in it for the Shades of Brown cardigan that I did on my wheel. I also did wheel spinning, yeah. And then I spun 100 grams of merino with silk for the cardigan as well, because it has stripes and edgings that are in a contrast color. And I spun more on the hand-dyed Polwarth that I got from the Painted Tiger. I love this fiber, but I'm spinning this to be a lace weight yarn for a featherweight cardigan, and it takes forever and ever and ever and ever. I think I started spinning this 1.5 years ago, but I am in the home stretch now. I have like a handful of fiber left. So, yeah, I hope I get there soon. I also last year started weaving because, you know, I got a little bored. I needed something new to do. So, real quick, I started with the backstrap loom that I still love. And first thing I made was a backstrap for a backstrap loom. Like, there's a tutorial of this by Laverne Waddington on the Weave Sign website. That's excellent. I made that backstrap, and then I made another one with stripes just because I could. Then I decided I really wanted a rigid head loom as well, and I bought myself a Schacht Flip, the biggest one that I have. And I made a scarf for my husband from sock yarn. And that one ended up being my second emergency Christmas gift for my father, because I could give a CD to both my parents, but I can't knit a hat for my mother and say, okay, I'm done with you too for Christmas. So I asked my husband, because the hand-woven scarf had been sitting in the to finish pile for month and month, so he didn't really know that he had it because it wasn't finished yet. And I said, would you mind if I gave this to my father and made you another one? And he said, okay. So I just cut off the ends and pressed it and was done. Yeah. Took me like 6 months or so. Then I made a narrow band on the back strap with pickup. That's a technique where you change colors and you get little nice and beautiful patterns if you do it right, which, well, I didn't all the time, but, well, I tried. And then when I had finished that, I thought, oh, I should just try to make like a backstrap band from my leftover handspun that I had for the flight path knit along, just for practice. I'm using the Andean Pebble Weave book by Laverne Waddington again. And I don't know, I started that last year in May, got a bit frustrated, and it's still sitting there. I also made another scarf on the flip from sock yarn for me, and that one's still lingering in the to finish pile. And then I had started doing a crochet, the Babette's blanket, the Babette's blanket from my leftover sock yarn, because I have like a pound of leftover sock yarn. Something like that. And something needed to be done because my stash is so big that it's, well, let's just say the bedroom looks like a yarn shop exploded in it. And that's not a good way to live. So I thought I should do something with the leftover sock yarn. And I started crocheting all these little teeny tiny pieces to put together later. But I just got nowhere. And then somebody said, oh, why don't you weave a blanket with it? And I said, whoa, I should really do that. And I put a warp on the flip, and I decided to use the whole width. And I think that was a bad idea, because then when you roll up the warp beam, yeah. Yeah, okay, so I have to fix that and make the warp a bit narrower and then start actually weaving on it. But right now I'm not really in a weaving mood. I think that might be something for summer again. We'll see. And also there are all these almost but not quite finished things lying around. So that concludes my first section of what I worked on since I last spoke to you. So it's time for topic of the whatever year or so. So now it's time to talk to you about everything I talked about in the past 9 episodes. I think you'll be happy to hear that this list is much shorter, of course, because it only has 9 points. And there are some things that I already spoke about, so yeah. First thing I talked about was about keeping things tidy and little helpers. I'm actually not quite sure what that episode was all about. I remember something about like a rant against people who lose tape measures or something. I talked about about project bags and stitch markers and tape measures and all these kinds of things. And I told everybody that I tend to keep every project in my house has its own bag. I actually have a rule that I can't have more projects in progress than I have bags. But of course, sometimes you need to put things in Ziplocs. So I have this project bag, there's the needles, there's the yarn, most of it anyways. There's the pattern, there's stitch markers, there's row counters. So when I grab the bag, I usually have everything that I need for that particular project. I also tell that I never ever lose tapestry needles or tape measures or anything, but that's because I always put them back where they belong. Like there's a tape measure in the desk here next to my computer. Every time I measure something with that particular tape measure, I never put it down anywhere else but the drawer it lives in. There's a tape measure in the kitchen. There's a tape measure in one of my sock project bags. And then I have this small sewing kit. It's a small, what do you call it? It's not really a bag. Huh. See, now I stumble because I don't really know how to call that in English. It has a zipper. It's a pouch. Ha, it's a pouch. And in that pouch, there's a small pair of scissors, a tape measure, sewing needles, thread, stitch markers, safety pins, and 2 tapestry needles. And same with the tape measures. I never put a tapestry needle down anywhere. Sometimes when I'm in the process of sewing something up, I'll stick it into the thing I'm sewing up, but then it has to sit on a table flat with a tapestry needle on top so that it can't fall down unexpectedly or something. And even when I make in the process of sewing something together, but it's lunchtime and I have to clear the table, I take the tapestry needle out, put it in the pouch, close the zipper. Yeah. So I talked about those kinds of things for hours and hours. I won't do that now. And next episode was about the big emptiness, because I had finished quite a few projects and all of a sudden I was sitting there with not a single knitting project. Woo. That was really weird and had a lot of potential, but was a bit scary too. So, it didn't last long. But for a few days there was no knitting. That was really weird. Then, next episode was about weaving, because I had started weaving and I was really, really excited about it. And I had my backstrap loom, and then I ordered rigid heddles for the backstrap loom, and then I decided to get a real rigid headed loom and started weaving on that and was totally happy with it. And so I had this whole episode about weaving, and I talked about weaving books that I had And and you have seen and in my list of things that I did that there were quite a few woven things on that list. And even though I'm not weaving a lot at the moment, I still love it. I won't buy a floor loom anytime soon because the house is totally full. There's no space for floor loom. And I don't think that I'm the kind of person for floor loom because one thing that I don't like about weaving is that the setup takes a lot of time. You know, casting on for a knitting project or crochet or starting a spinning project, that's really fast. Even if I do a gauge swatch and wash the swatch or do a sample with a spinning, wash the sample, I can do it in between other things. It doesn't really take time. But warp the loom, even the rigid heddle loom, when I'm putting the warp directly on the loom, still I need like a few hours on the weekend where I say, I am now in the kitchen warping the loom. Nobody can do anything there. And with a rigid heddle, I can like carry it around and weave in the kitchen and then fold it and put it away. And that's okay. But having something sit right in the middle of some of the looms, and yeah, well, no, there's just no space. If I had the space, I would have gotten a grand piano, I think. Well, that's what I say now. I also said that I never started weaving. Yeah. Then my next episode was about training for the Tour de Fleece. I think you all know probably what the Tour de Fleece is. If you don't, well, it's done on Ravelry. There's a group and it's always held at the time when the Tour de France rides. That's like 3 weeks, sometime in July. And there are rules, well, guidelines. So you spin every day the tour rides because they have rest days there. I think there are like 2 rest days during the tour. And you set yourself a goal beforehand. And then at the end, tell people, oh, I've done this much, or I've reached my goal. And you can be a member of different teams. And yeah, there are all kinds of things. And it's always great fun to do it, to know that there are thousands of other spinners like spinning along with you. And I don't know, I have a thing for these internet deadline events. So last year, I thought I'd be really sensible and train for the Tour de Fleece because my plan had been to spin as much as I can off the yarn for the Weisheart sweater on a spindle. And, spinning needs muscles. And for me, spindle spinning, it's not something I usually do for 4 to 6 hours a day or even 2 hours. I spin like 15 minutes here and 10 minutes there. So all of a sudden you go say, okay, this is the Tour de Fleece. I spin like 4 hours a day, 2 hours a day. And so you have to prepare yourself for that. I try to, but I overdid it. And I got problems with my wrist and I couldn't spin on a spindle anymore. So I actually was injured in training. I managed to finish the Merino Nylon Blend sock yarn. I was very happy with the sock yarn, but I decided not to do the Tour de Fleece on a spindle because holding the fiber up and twirling the spindle actually hurt. So there was no way I would do that for 3 weeks longer. So, which brings us to the next episode that was called Tour de Fleece Results and Looking Forward to the Revelanic Games. Because what I did was, instead of spinning the fiber for the yarn, spinning the yarn for the Weisheart sweater on a spindle, I instead spun the yarn for the Shades of Brown sweater for my mother on the wheel. I bought these 2 pounds of Shetland Tussle Silk blend and a bit of Merino Silk in green, because I couldn't get Shetland that was dyed green or any color. Well, having a Shetland Tussa blend that was just the exact shade of green that I wanted, that would have been nice, but I didn't. So I used the Merino Silk. And I spun it into a two-ply. I used long draw, and it was, I don't know, it's definitely a worsted weight yarn. Maybe almost bulky. And it went so fast. After like weeks and weeks and weeks of spinning 100 grams for a pair of socks on a Turkish spindle, I suddenly sat there with my wheel going like whoosh. I remember I went to a spinning meeting, and spinning meetings are usually between 4 and 5 hours, and I make tea and eat something and talk to people. So I went to the spinning meeting with an empty bobbin, and when I left, it was full. I had spun like 150 grams in 4 hours. So I just whooshed through the fiber, and by the end of the Tour de Fleece, I had finished 2 pounds, well, German pounds, that's like 1 kilo, and 100 grams of fiber. And I had spun all the yarn for my mother's sweater, this knit swirl sweater. The pattern is called Shades of Grey, but since the Shetland yarn is more brown, what I had, that I call it Shades of Brown. And then right after that, there were the Olympic Games. And during the Olympic Games, there were the Revelanic Games. You might remember they used to be called the Revelympics, but then they were told they couldn't use that name without paying for it. So they changed the name. So during those Summer Olympics, that was like 2 weeks in August. Well, I had twisted my ankle. I couldn't do anything, walk anywhere, anything. I just sat and knitted on this sweater. The knit swirl sweaters are huge. They are long. They have these huge collars. And they're all knit in one piece. So basically, after the first, I don't know, 2 or 3, what do you call them? There are like rips, welts. Oh yeah, she calls it welts, because you knit like 5 rows of rounds, rather, of knit stitch, and then 5 rounds purl, and then so you get this pattern thingy, really a structure, texture thing. And so after like 20 rounds or so, the whole thing is no longer portable. And I actually managed to knit the whole thing in 2 weeks. But then it still needed to be seamed. Yep. And as you know, I'm really good with doing that, especially on time, because I love weaving in ends and seaming. Then, so it sat there for, I don't know, 4 weeks or so. And then I took the time to block it, because that was also a problem. This thing is huge. And while I do have like a kind of blocking mat, it's not that big. So mostly what I did was like I stretched it out on the floor and hoped for the best. And then, I don't know, it took like 4 days to dry or so, because the thing became really heavy. My yarn turned out to be a bit heavier than it should have been, but that was not much of a problem because I just knit the sweater a size smaller. The one thing that I did wrong was that I knew that my mother has rather long arms, so she usually needs pretty long sleeves. And since I didn't read the comments on the pattern, I didn't realize that most of these knit wool sweaters do have rather long sleeves. And so I made the sleeves longer, and my mother tells me that the sleeves are too long, and they are too long for the exact amount that I added. So I shouldn't have done that. Well, the way the thing is knit, I can't take those stitches away easily. So we just leave them, and it rolls up anyway, so she just rolls them up a bit more. But that's okay. I did the seaming the night before I had to give it to my mother for her birthday. Stayed up late. I seamed it the wrong way first, because in the pattern it says to start at the neck and seam it outwards. I didn't read the pattern. I just started at the cuffs because I thought that would be easier. No, isn't. I had to rip out half a seam and do it the other way around. And then it actually was easy. So remember, always read the pattern, even for seaming and weaving in, really. So, next episode, we're at, let me see, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. This is 26, four more to go. What's called Better Mood Through New Projects. So after first the disaster of not having any knitting project, then there was the focusing on the spinning, then there was the big project for my mother to get finished. All of a sudden, I sat there and I could knit whatever I wanted. And so I started all the things. And I'm usually pretty careful with what I start, because I don't like making things that I don't use in the end or something. But this time, I just started. And I think that's when I started a lot of small things like mittens and other mittens and socks and this and that. And I talked about how nice it always is to start something and to have this promise of something new and exciting and all this potential of a project that hasn't gone wrong yet. And I was pretty happy just starting things. So, and then we have, this is my November episode, 27. That was called Arbitrary Deadlines, because I know that this is November, because November for me is the month of deadlines. I usually do the NaNoWriMo thing. That's the National Novel Writing thing. It's another internet event where you commit to writing 50,000 words on an original novel during the month of November. I participated 4 times, I think. Let me see. 5 times. I participated 5 times. I had to turn away and count the winner certificates that I have hanging on my wall for NaNoWriMo. So last November, I did it for the 5th time, and I managed to write my 50,000 words. Every time I have tried this, I actually finished a little early, but sometimes it almost kills me. And I did another thing that I've done, I think, 3 or 4 times already. I also participated in the National Knit Sweater Month. So usually it's meant like that, that you're either doing one or the other. Though I have to say, for me, at least, knitting a sweater in a month is much easier than writing a novel in a month. Though 50,000 words, that's a really short novel. And I've looked it up. So usually novels these days of the kind that I like to read have between 80,000 and 100,000 words. But yeah, knit a sweater. So I did that and the National Novel Writing Month thing. And my husband hates it and says, I'm totally crazy for doing this. And I tried to do it without him knowing. And I have to say, that doesn't really work. Because, well, I tend to become a bit, confused and absent. And, you get this look of somebody who thinks about novel writing more than about doing dishes. I told him, I said, oh yeah, by the way, I'm writing this novel. And he said, are you doing NaNoWriMo again? I said, didn't I mention? Yeah, but this time went pretty well because I made housework and being there for him a priority. And I also managed to mostly do my writing in the mornings when there's a time when my son's already at school, but my husband hasn't gotten up yet. And, well, mostly that's about an hour or an hour and a half. And on a good day, that's enough for me to write like 2,000 words. On a good day. And then there are always weekends. Yeah. So I managed that. I like it. It's a bit crazy. I don't really know why I like it. But it's really, really motivating to do it. And of course, by now I know that I can do it. So, yeah, that was the month of arbitrary deadlines. Then in December, I called the episode The Quiet Season. And I wasn't talking about knitting or spinning or anything so much. It was more about how December is supposed to be really quiet and time for family and friends. And in reality, it's usually pretty crazy and not much fun. And I talked about how you can find your quiet place in that month where everything goes topsy-turvy and you're all stressed out just because you're celebrating the season. And I really don't like it. And we try to cut back on everything that we don't really need to do. But still, in the end, we're always frazzled by Christmas. Also, and it's my son's birthday 1 week before Christmas. And we had a party with his friends. And so that's always a bit stressful too. So, and then last episode was the Project Wardrobe 2013 episode. So I thought about doing the project or doing goals, but I always set myself goals and I always fail short and it's no fun. So this year I decided I wanted to focus on getting a wardrobe together because the way I dress doesn't really reflect my personality much. I dress for comfort and, I already have 2 pairs of jeans, so I'm all set with pants. And, I don't know. So I want some more clothes that fit me, that make me happy. And I started thinking a bit about style and what I want to look like instead of just buying the one thing that fits me in the store and not thinking about much else. So I decided to make more of my own clothes, not only ill-fitting sweaters this time, but also hopefully not as ill-fitting sewn clothes. So I decided to make this year two skirts, a dress, a tunic, and a pair of pajama buttons, I think. Something along those lines. There's a denim skirt that I've been trying to finish sewing for 2 years. I think it doesn't fit me anymore because I gained something like 40 pounds in the past few years. So I'm pretty sure that skirt's too tight by now. But I'll go and look tomorrow morning. And then I'll either draft a new pattern because I drafted that one myself. I have a book that teaches you how to draft your own patterns, which is nice because not only do store-bought clothes not fit me, but store-bought patterns don't fit me either. It's just, of course, it's just logical. If I can't find something that fits me in the store, it's not like sewing patterns are made for totally differently shaped people than store-bought clothes. It's like everything is made for women who wear a B-cup bra. So I wear a D-cup bra. So everything is too small in the chest area. And then I have pretty narrow shoulders. So it's, well, I have to choose. Either it's way too big in the shoulders or it's way too small in the on the boobs. My waist is still pretty slim, though I'm rather fat. But my hips have always been like two sizes bigger than everything else on me. So, yeah, I decided to make my own patterns and sew myself some clothes, but I haven't done anything yet. I'm just really excited and happy about a new project, and we'll see how that goes. So, now I have the feeling that I galloped. Is that a word? Like horse, you know? Cantered is better. Right through this episode, full speed. I hope it's not too rushed, but I have this whole long list of things I wanted to talk about, and yeah, I hope I didn't forget anything. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Again, I really hope that you won't have to wait as long for the next English special edition as you had to wait for this one. I don't promise anything, but I'll try to get out more podcasts. Yeah. I totally forgot. I was so happy to hear from that many of you after the last English speaking episode, and that was great, and I always love it. And if you want to contact me, you can find me on my blog, of course. That's http something creativemother.de. My email address is creativemother@web.de. That's web.de. Then I'm on Twitter, though I don't Twitter much, as Free Jazz Mama. I'm on Reverie as Creative Mother. And as I said, I'd love to hear from you. It was totally interesting to see that there are quite a few of you who use this podcast to learn German. I'm honored. I hope you learn something. And so until the next time, I say happy knitting. Ciao.